Oral questions by members.
Leader of the official opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, British Columbians expect and indeed deserve timely, quality care in our hospitals, not the nightmare that is currently unfolding. Under this premier, hospital emergency rooms face repeated closures. Seniors are left languishing in hallways for up to 9 days, and there is total chaos being caused by rampant illicit drug use. Now, Fraser Health nurses are speaking out about NDP policy that enables drug users to abandon their hospital beds for up to 6 hours so they can go back onto the streets to use drugs without losing their spot. This effectively blocks beds, forcing patients, including seniors, to have to endure care in hallways or suffer long waits in emergency rooms for days on end. So my question to the Premier, why is the Premier continuing to put the rights of drug users to openly use meth, crack cocaine and fentanyl over the rights of nurses and patients to be safe and get the care they deserve?
Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. This week and in April, we have about 10,100 people admitted to our acute care facilities across BC. They bring with them, often, very significant challenges. But whether they are people who are addicted to drugs, whether they are people who need any kind of care, they deserve the best possible care we can give them. And I think that our doctors and our nurses and our health sciences professionals do exceptional work. It's why over the last 6 months, I've met in significant and long meetings to hear directly from healthcare workers across the system. It's why, at their impetus, we've added and supported security staff in our healthcare system. And it's why we treat the patients that come to us, all of them, whatever their circumstances, with the greatest of respect possible, Honourable Speaker. This is what our acute care hospitals have to do. And when people come into our hospitals and they have other circumstances and they're addicted to drugs, Honourable Speaker, they absolutely deserve care as much as anyone. And the people who believe that most are our doctors and our nurses and our health sciences professionals. We need to keep them safe, and we need to provide the best possible care to everybody.
Leader of the Official Opposition, supplemental.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, but the reality is we also need to keep our nurses and our patients safe, because they're the ones having to put up with it. You know, the answer by the minister shows how completely out of touch this Premier and this NDP government is with the chaos that their deliberate policy choices are causing for nurses, patients, and their families. A woman from Surrey has shared with us that her 90-year-old father was put in the same room as a drug user who tried to smoke meth while on oxygen, nearly causing an explosion. She wrote, and I quote, "My elderly mother was afraid to enter the hospital by herself when visiting my dad. I was shocked at the condition of our hospitals. It is not safe for anyone." End of quote. And what is this Premier and Minister's solution to the crisis? A useless task force. Well, let me tell you this. I would end this nonsense policy within 24 hours of forming government. Premier to stand up and say we're putting an end to this nonsense within 24 hours to protect our nurses and patients.
Members, Minister of Health.
Honourable Speaker, we have, as I noted, 10,100 people in acute care now. And we know, and this was true in the past and it's true now, that the people who enter a hospital enter with the issues that they enter with. And our staff do an extraordinary job in providing them care. Our job, I think, is to do what we're doing in partnership with the doctors of BC, which is to have more family doctors and more doctors in our province. And that is succeeding. Our job is to work in partnership with the BC Nurses Union, which we are doing, in a North American leading program to hire nurses and nurse practitioners. Our job is to support healthcare workers and not to privatize security and downgrade security, which was the policy of the previous government. But to hire and train relational security staff. And you know, when we announced that, Honourable Speaker, they questioned it. They said, you're not going to do it. Well, in the year that we set to hire 320 people, we hired 320 people. And Honourable Speaker, our job is to support all of our workers in our public health care system and to support all of our patients in the public health care system. Regardless,
security guards, unbelievable.
Well, the honourable leader of the opposition, who helped privatize security in our public health care system, who downgraded security, who downgraded training, and got rid of occupational health and safety, is speaking out now. We have a different view. We are supporting health care workers across the public health care system.
Member for Kelowna Mission.
This government's job is to support our healthcare workers and to protect our patients. But by telling our healthcare workers that they can't take drugs away from people, they can't stop drug traffickers, and they can't stop people from using illicit drugs in their rooms.
Members.
The government.
Members, please. Member has. Member has the floor.
The government is actually facilitating illicit drug use, putting nurses and patients at risk. Often, those using illicit drugs become volatile and a danger to nurses and fellow patients in shared rooms. As BC Nurses Union President Adrian Geer says, and I quote, policies can look good on paper, but they don't enforce them. And at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night, when you're working at 50% staff, that's when this stuff blows up, end quote. Why does the Premier continue to refuse to put nurses and patients first and end the NDP's dangerous decriminalization experiment? We're here.
Minister of Health.
Honourable Speaker, I think our work with the BCNU stands in stark contrast to the work done in the past. We are working.
Members, Minister will continue.
Honourable Speaker, as the members of the House know, and they're just the numbers, between 2009 and 2016, they reduced the actual number of registered nurses in our healthcare system. They reduce the actual number of registered psychiatric nurses in our healthcare system. Those are just the numbers. Those are just the facts, Honourable Speaker. We had a record year for recruiting nurses because of our strong belief in their value in the system. And we're doing it by working exactly with the BC Nurses Union on all of these questions, including on issues of security in our healthcare system. It's why we restored what's called Switch BC, the Occupational Health and Safety Agency, Honourable Speaker, that they disbanded, that works to protect nurses in the system. They disbanded it, and security concerns went up, Honourable Speaker. We've reinstated it, and we've hired 320 relational security officers, employees of health authority systems, and they disparage that, Honourable Speaker, but that is precisely what the BC Nurses Union asked for.
Kelowna Mission supplemental.
Well, I can assure you that the BC Nurses Union did not ask for this. We have learned from nurses that drug consumption and open drug dealing are happening on the rooftop garden patio at St. Paul's Hospital, and that healthcare professionals are being advised not to report these activities to law enforcement. Could the minister please confirm these reports?
Minister of Health.
Honourable Speaker, nobody is constrained from reporting anything to law enforcement.
House Leader of the Third Party.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday the Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General disagreed with my observation that the handling of the Surrey policing transition is resulting in the politicization of public safety. Anyone who's followed the Surrey police transition knows it has been fumbled from the beginning. The result is the minister and the mayor of one of the largest cities in our province sparring in public. How does that foster public confidence? Now, the National Police Federation Union President Brian Sauvé has written the minister to address his, quote, misleading statements, end quote. It's about police of jurisdiction. The minister claimed in a letter to Brenda Locke he can force the RCMP to, quote, work under the command of the Surrey Police Service, end quote. Of course, the all-party consensus report tabled 2 years ago addressed these jurisdictional concerns, but the minister ignores good advice. Mr. Speaker, to the Minister of Public Safety, after receiving Mr. Sauvé's letter admonishing him for misleading statements, does he still think the diminished confidence in public safety is disconnected from the mishandling of the Surrey policing fiasco?
Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and I appreciate the question from the member. I've made no misleading statements. What's clear when it comes to Surrey, and in fact policing, and the structure of policing in the province of British Columbia, that is the authority of the province of British Columbia, not Ottawa, not the city of Surrey. It's the authority of the province of British Columbia as to whether we have contract policing, municipal policing, or a provincial police force. That decision is made here. What I also said is that the path forward, which we have been working on, we have an agreement in principle that my ministry and the federal RCMP, the commissioner, and Public Safety Canada have agreed on a path forward. I will have more to say that on that in the weeks ahead. This is not, and the package that the City of Surrey rejected is not about whether or not the transition is going ahead, but is in fact about the law of the province of British Columbia, which is Surrey will be policed by the Surrey Police Service. And in terms of the contract, that is something that is taken up by the Police Federation with the RCMP management, and it is about ensuring that the law of British Columbia is upheld and the law of British Columbia is clear. Surrey will be policed by the Surrey Police Service.
House Leader, Third Party Supplemental.
There's no question about that last part of the statement, but the entire process, Mr. Speaker, this minister understood 2 years ago that the police of jurisdiction was going to be a problem, and here we are 2 years later, and the police of jurisdiction question, surprise, surprise, maybe to everybody but the minister, hopefully, the jurisdictional issue exists. Mr. Sauvé encourages the public safety minister to, quote, be more progressive and modern in their approach to labour relations, end quote. That's got to make the BC Fed smile, right? Quote, continuing, the NFP has been asking the province for a clear transition plan with a definitive end date for the RCMP in Surrey. Shouldn't the province now have a plan? We eagerly await the details of the plan. Our members and the residents of Surrey deserve better from their political leaders, including clear, factual, and evidence-based information on public safety, end quote. That's from the head of the National Police Federation, Mr. Speaker. The minister flexes his legislative muscles in a submitted letter to Surrey. He told them that he had a plan with the federal government for the police jurisdictional issue Surrey Police brought to our committee 2 years ago. It's infuriating, Mr. Speaker, that we have worked so hard on building our all-party consensus on police reform, only to watch this minister squander it. To the Minister of Public Safety, he told the Surrey that he had it all sorted out, and now Mr. Sauvé has written a letter condemning his statements as misleading. Tell the people of Surrey, all British Columbians, on the record, how he intends to navigate the police jurisdictional issues he's allowed to fester for the last 2 years.
Minister of Public Safety.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and I appreciate the question. The transition has been underway. The transition continues. The member can shake his head, but the reality is this. The law of the province of British Columbia is that Surrey will be policed by the Surrey Police Service. I didn't interrupt you, member. So please don't interrupt when I'm trying to give you an answer to a question that you asked. And I'm sorry, member. But I am answering the question. And the member asked the question, and we listened.
Members, let's get on with it.
And I... One thing I do know, Honourable Member, there's definitely no consensus on Surrey on that side of the House. What I can tell you, Honourable Speaker, is that all of those issues have been part and parcel of the process that has been underway. All of it. And as I said a moment ago to you, that in terms of the pass forward, when it comes to police of jurisdiction, that that issue has been front and centre in terms of my ministry, the federal government, the Ministry of Public Safety, and the RCMP at the very highest level involving the Commissioner. I also said that there is an agreement in principle on how that will move forward. And that will be unveiled in the coming week. What I can also tell you is that we have had key persons, Jessica McDonald, working very closely with all the parties. It's unfortunate that the City of Surrey has chosen not to participate in that. We have made a very generous offer to address their concerns. The City of Surrey wants to walk away from $150 million plus up to $100 million in terms of ensuring a smooth transition so that their concerns are addressed, Honourable Speaker. All of the issues that have been raised are being addressed in a plan that has been in place since day one. And, Honourable Speaker, the transition will continue regardless of the judicial review, because the law of the land and the law
Thank
of the province of British Columbia is that Surrey will
Thank
be
you,
policed
Mr.
by the Surrey Police Service.
House Leader of the Fourth Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. This NDP government has built a reputation for secrecy and authoritarianism. In the past few months, we've seen a gag order on the RCMP, a ban on peaceful demonstrations near schools, a disturbing pattern of corruption with government grant programs, and now the BC NDP is eliminating the legal profession's independence from government. Mr. Speaker, there is a pattern emerging. This NDP government is obsessed with trying to slam through bad socialist ideas that don't work, and then they turn to an authoritarian, secretive approach when they have to cover up the mess they have made. Frankly, it's embarrassing. The biggest mess
Members.
Of them all
Shh.
Is without
Members.
A doubt this NDP's government's yes. decriminalization and safe supply program. It's embarrassing for British Columbians to watch BC
Question
become
member.
The number one source for illicit safe supply, opioid pills for gangs all across Canada. It is a shameful and disturbing
Member question,
misuse
please.
Of taxpayer dollars. My question, Mr. Speaker.
Members, let's hear the question, please.
To the Solicitor General, how much money has this BC government transferred from taxpayers to drug dealers through the Safe Supply Program?
Mr. Premier.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. The member said a lot in his question. There's a couple, there's a couple pieces I want to address. First of all, he said that his party will support people going to local schools, threatening children, threatening teachers, making them feel unsafe. There was a protest where people were banging on the windows of schools. 17 major incidents at schools in British Columbia. The law establishing a perimeter, a 20-meter perimeter around schools just to keep teachers and kids safe, and his party opposes it. They oppose the Legal Professions Act bill, which is going to make legal services more affordable for British Columbians. British Columbians struggling with family law issues, trying to find someone to help them, where a paralegal can assist them. His party's gonna stand with, I don't know who, I guess a small group of lawyers that are benefiting from the existing system against affordable legal services for British Columbians. And now, you know, after sitting with the BC Liberal Party, now the BCUPs, not saying anything during the all-party committee where we canvassed all these issues around how do we keep people alive, get them into treatment, not saying anything through that whole period of time, not saying anything about money laundering, when people carried bags of cash into BC casinos, Where was he on those issues? And now he says he's going to take action on drug dealers? Well, where was he when that was going on, when he was sitting, and that party was sitting on this side of the House? It's too late, member. We're taking action. We're arresting drug dealers. We're seizing the Hells Angels clubhouses. We're seizing property through unexplained wealth orders. We're funding the police. And we're keeping kids safe at school.
Member.
Mr. Speaker, this Solicitor General shows a lot of bluster and pomp, but frankly he lacks any real substance. This week he bragged about having a deal done with Surrey on the policing issue. Then he proceeds to whip up a three-egg omelette and apply it directly to his face after the City of Surrey rejects his deal. The RCMP's union said this NDP government has not communicated with them. Because of his hubris and his unwillingness to sit down and have a genuine conversation with the City of Surrey, the issue of policing in Surrey continues to be up in the air. Public safety is a mess under this NDP government. Gangs are running rampant. There's new shootings every week.
Question,
and
member.
Safe supply drugs are flooding our streets and our schools.
Question, please.
Once again, I will ask this minister about the tax-funded Canada-wide safe supply drug trade that has been established by the brilliant and oh-so-compassionate policies of this NDP. This NDP
Question,
safe
member.
Supply program is the biggest
member, please.
Direct transfer of wealth from
Members, please ask. Member, please ask question.
BC. BC taxpayers are literally buying the drugs for dealers to sell.
Could you please turn his phone? Members.
My question to the Solicitor General, Mr. Speaker. Do we have any idea exactly how many taxpayer-funded safe supply pills have been exported out of BC by criminals and gangs?
Members, members, please. We have distributed, circulated how to be have some decorum in the House so many times over and over again. Please pay attention. If next time you're all warned, if the member is not paying attention, you will be kicked out. Simple as that. Mr. Premier.
Honourable Speaker, I heard a lot of talk from the member about chickens and eggs, and I remember when the member was mayor, struggling with homelessness when the previous government sat on this side of the House and he spread chicken manure to try to deal with the homeless problem. We're taking a different approach, honourable member. Now, he stands up again and he says he wants to prolong the uncertainty in Surrey. People in Surrey just want decent policing services. And our government will ensure that when they call 911, they get the support that they deserve. And the member has indicated his political interest in prolonging this issue for as long as he can, because he thinks it's in his political interest, but it's not in the interest of the people of Surrey. I encourage that member to stand with us, deliver the message to the City of Surrey, the transition's going to go through, we'll provide the support so taxpayers are protected, and let's get on with business.
Member for Parkville, Qualicum.
I recently visited a constituent at the Nanaimo Regional General Hospital. He insisted that I come firsthand to experience and see the state of our hospital. The time that I visited him, he had spent at that point 3 days in the hallway with no privacy, no bathroom, and he described the 3 days of constant noise and 24-hour light as torture. Now, I know this doesn't surprise the Minister of Health. This is unfortunately the new normal at the Nanaimo Regional General Hospital. Our hospital has capacity for 346 patients, yet last month we saw 447 patients accommodated. That's over 100 patients in hallways, corridors, broom closets, anywhere they can fit them. The staff and the patients deserve a lot better. The Nanaimo region has one of the fastest growing populations in the country, and the number of those over 75 years old is growing faster here than anywhere else. Island Health recognized this, and they identified a new location for a patient tower, but for years, this Minister of Health has been refusing to listen. Instead, the NDP is planning on spending $45 million the next 4 years.
Question, please.
The Minister of Health and the NDP is planning on spending $45 million over the next 4 years to convert more broom closets into patient rooms. People north of the Malahat deserve better than Band-Aid solutions and hallway medicine. Why does the Minister of Health continue to refuse to listen to Island Health, and when will the NDP commit to funding the desperately needed patient tower and Nanaimo Regional General Hospital?
Minister of Health.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and we are engaging, and the member knows this, in unprecedented investments in Nanaimo. We're building hundreds of new long-term care beds, which are significantly needed in that community. We've delivered that. We put it in place, we've delivered that, something that had been failed to done for a generation before that, which is significant. When I became Minister of Health, the ICU, and now a new high acuity unit, were the worst in Canada, and we built a new ICU and a new high acuity unit. And we are now building a new cancer center for Nanaimo. These are unprecedented investments in that hospital. We're going to have to continue to invest in Nanaimo because people are coming. And that's why we need more doctors and nurses and health sciences professionals, which is what our health human resources plan is all about. We are going to continue to invest in Nanaimo and support Nanaimo patients.
Member supplemental.
Thank you, Speaker. The challenge that I'm hearing is that there's no listening. The question was about the patient tower. The question is about when will this government listen to Island Health about the desperate need to find out where to put these patients. The broom closets, the chapel downstairs now has patients in it, the physiotherapy room downstairs, the pool was closed, the rehab unit was closed to find room to put stuff and people. The hospital is bursting at the seams, and Island Health has a plan to solve this. With the patient tower also is the request for a heart catheterization lab. I've heard of three men in their 50s and 60s recently that have gone to the hospital to receive care. The clinical standard is care within 90 minutes. Patient one, it took three phone calls for that patient to be transferred from Nanaimo
Question,
to
member,
Victoria.
Please.
He was delivered 8 to 9 hours later, and member, he now has permanent heart damage.
Member, just ask question, please. We don't have much time. Thank you so much. Please.
I get one question every 2 weeks in this place.
I know, I understand, I appreciate that.
And I have taken less time than other members here.
Please.
So I know the Speaker doesn't want to hear this, but a patient died because the Nanaimo Regional General Hospital could not transfer that patient to Victoria. It took three phone calls, and the hospital in Victoria refused to admit that patient. They bled out at the Nanaimo Hospital. People in Nanaimo are demanding a heart catheterization lab. I recognize
Thank
the Speaker
you.
Doesn't want to hear this, but my question is, when will this government fund the heart catheterization lab at Nanaimo Hospital?
Minister of Health, let's have a brief answer, please.
Yeah, as noted, we are making unprecedented investments at Nanaimo Regional General Hospital because of the very needs identified by the Honourable Member. We're also having, and the success is showing in our Health Human Resources Plan, unprecedented success at recruiting doctors, both family doctors and specialists, Honourable Speaker, nurses, health sciences professionals, and healthcare workers in our healthcare system. We're going to continue to do that in Nanaimo. The issues of the people of Nanaimo and the region are a high priority for me. That's why I personally visited the hospital to engage with staff there on these very questions just a few months ago, and we're going to continue to do this work.
Member for West Vancouver Capilano.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We've learned from nurses that drug users in hospitals are being provided with lock boxes to store their drugs, paraphernalia, and even weapons accessible throughout their stay. We've learned from nurses that they are being instructed to provide burner kits, including glass pipes and matches, to drug users in hospitals. Can the minister tell us how many of these burner kits have been distributed in hospitals?
Minister.
Honourable Speaker, what I believe is that we have to keep people safe in our hospitals, and we have to provide people who come to the hospital with very severe issues, which is disproportionately the case, with care. That's what our doctors and our nurses and our health sciences professionals, our healthcare workers commit to do every day. They wouldn't agree, I don't think, with the idea being put forward that people with the most severe illness possible would somehow be kicked out of a hospital, Honourable Speaker. They provide care to the people who arrive in hospitals. They're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to support them and work with them in our unprecedented work that we're doing right now with the BC Nurses Union, and we're going to continue to do that in the future.
Member for Prince George Wellmount.
It takes courage for nurses in British Columbia to stand up. And they are standing up every single day and telling this premier and this minister that they do not feel safe in the hospitals of British Columbia. And what do we hear in here? Oh, don't worry about it. It's not allowed. Well, it may not be allowed, but nurses are tired of the lack of action of this premier and minister, and it is embarrassing that they stand up every day and dismiss stories like this one. How about hospitals that are installing smoke detectors to designed to alert staff about the presence of drug smoke from substances like meth and fentanyl? Or how about the fact that nurses, because of their exposure to drug smoke, has been so severe, it necessitated emergency treatment? There have been claims filed with WorkSafe BC. It takes courage to speak up. So maybe the Premier should show some courage today.
Members,
he should get up and admit that his policies are causing fear, anxiety, and in fact, damage to people in the healthcare system. Will he show some courage, admit his policies are a mess, and fix them?
Minister of Health.
Well, Honourable Speaker, we do every day work with BC nurses on these questions. I've met at 33 hospitals in every case with nurses talking about the issues that they face, from issues of security, to issues of burnout, all the issues that they face in our healthcare system, and we've taken action on what they've requested. Now, the opposition apparently opposes adding security in our healthcare system. They oppose adding smoke detectors in our healthcare system to keep people safer. We are in favor of those things because they help keep the very nurses they're talking about safer. And we're going to continue to do that work with BC nurses and BC doctors.
The chair will allow supplemental, please.
What the opposition is opposed to is the use of illicit drugs in hospitals. Sorry. It is the absolute lunacy of making nurses supply burner kits. We're opposed to nurses needing emergency treatment after doing their job in hospitals. And what we are opposed to is a government that refuses to acknowledge the seriousness of this issue day after day after day. And here's what we're most opposed to. Nurses feeling like they can't stand up and tell the truth about their circumstances because they are afraid about the consequences they may face. So it's time for the Premier to get up today and reassure nurses that they can speak up and that he will stand up for them and do something to change the absolutely terrible situation nurses are facing in this province.
Minister of Health.
Well, Honourable Speaker, for starters, we're working with the BC Nurses Union every day.
Members, no, please. Let's conclude this.
Working with them every day to ensure that we have more nurses in our healthcare system. That we, last year, working with nurses in BC, set a record for new nurse registrants in our healthcare system. This is contrary, and it's hard for them to hear, to the deliberate policies that saw a reduction in registered nurses and a reduction in registered psychiatric nurses for 7 years under the previous government, starting with the time the leader of the opposition was Minister of Health. We have a different approach. We're working with the BCNU, not reducing the number of nurses, Honourable Speaker. When nurses came to us, Honourable Speaker.
Let's not prolong it, please.
Honourable Speaker, we know that we need stronger security in our healthcare system. And that's why listening to nurses and listening to the HEU and listening to health sciences professionals, we added 320 relational security officers. This is a contrast to a government that downgraded and privatized security. Honorable Speaker, we are committed to working, supporting, protecting, and every day doing the work required to make our healthcare system better by working with nurses, and we'll continue to do so.
The bell ends the question period.